Hey, friends, and happy new year. I want to welcome you back to Money Girl. If you're new here, my name is Laura Adams. I'm an award-winning personal finance author who's been writing and hosting Money Girl since 2008. And I'm really looking forward to this year. I think that every new year brings just so much potential, possibilities. I'm glad that you're with me. If you're on a journey to improve your personal finances or, you know, just make the most of what you have, you are in the right place. We're going to be bringing you some fantastic content this year. So I hope you'll stay with me. The mission here is always for you to get knowledge and, even more importantly, I think, motivation to prioritize your finances. If it's one of your goals for the year, I'm going to help you understand maybe what your goals should be or some fresh goals to add to your resolutions for the year. And I want you to build wealth and ultimately have more security and less stress. That's what personal finances are all about. It's using your money to achieve the things that you want in life. So if you've been loving Money Girl, I'd love for you to take a moment to submit a quick rating or review. That means so much to me and everyone at the Quick and Dirty Tips Network. And today we're going to be talking about something that's very important. That's health insurance. If you get health insurance through a group plan at your job, you're probably getting, you know, a great policy, maybe a really affordable price. But if one of your goals this year is to leave, maybe you want to become self-employed, or maybe you're worried about a recession, you're worried about getting laid off, you're going to need to evaluate other insurance options pretty carefully. And one alternative to health insurance that is getting more and more popular is joining a health care sharing plan. So this podcast will explain health sharing, and we'll cover 7 critical things to know about it before signing up. You're going to learn the main advantages and disadvantages so you can evaluate if joining a health sharing option is right for you if you are looking for an alternative to health insurance. All right, so let's get into it. I'm going to cover 7 things you should know before enrolling in a health care sharing plan. Number one, health sharing is not health insurance. So maybe this is probably the most important thing to take away from this podcast. Health care sharing plans are nonprofit cooperatives. They have members who agree to cover a portion of each other's medical expenses. So they are not insurance plans. And therefore, they're not subject to regulatory oversight or laws governing policyholder consumer rights. Also, since they are not insurance, you never qualify for a health savings account or HSA. You know, I talk a lot about HSAs on the podcast, and you can certainly search the archives for more about those if you're not familiar with HSAs. Even when you have to pay a lot out of pocket, you're still not eligible for an HSA because they are not a high deductible health plan because they're not health insurance. So instead of paying premiums to a health insurance company, a health sharing plan charges its members a monthly fee, and they set their own rules on who can join and what expenses they'll cover. And in addition to medical costs, some health sharing plans include dental, vision, and even disability coverage. However, there's always an annual unshared amount. So that's similar to an insurance deductible, but they don't call it a deductible. They call it an unshared amount. But unlike with regular insurance, which has a deductible based on the calendar year, your unshared amounts actually apply per medical event. So this is really different from a traditional deductible. Let me give you an example. Let's say you choose a $1,000 unshared amount and you go to the hospital in March for a covered respiratory illness. That would be all you'd have to pay for that medical issue until the following March. So you'd have 12 months from that issue for that unshared amount of $1,000. But let's say you fall and break your arm in June. Well, you'd have to pay another $1,000 for those expenses. And maybe you get into a car accident in December, you'd have to pay another $1,000 out of pocket. Now, typically there is a cap on the number of unshared amount events, like three within a 12-month period. So if you had a fourth visit to the hospital before March, you might not have to pay anything because you would have paid the maximum for three unshared medical events. But again, this is going to vary depending on the plan. So in other words, what you're responsible for with a health sharing plan is significantly different from regular health insurance. So be sure you understand the details of unshared amounts and exactly how much your maximum out-of-pocket expenses could be. All right, the second thing to know is that health sharing is available any time of year. Since healthcare sharing plans are not insurance, you can enroll anytime. With employer-sponsored health insurance, you typically have to wait until an annual open enrollment to make changes unless you're a new employee with the company. And there's also an annual enrollment period for enrolling in a state or federal marketplace health plan. That typically runs from November 1st to January 15 of the following year. However, if you have certain life events, like you lose your job, you relocate, you get married, or you have a child, all of those are situations when you qualify for a marketplace plan's special enrollment period and can get coverage. But if you're outside of the enrollment period and you don't have one of these life events, you can't sign up for a marketplace health insurance plan. The third thing to know is that health sharing may not be ACA, or that's the Affordable Care Act, compliant. Health share plans typically do not comply with ACA regulations because they don't offer minimum essential coverage or guarantee your insurability for pre-existing health conditions. However, some sharing plans do provide preventative services like annual physicals, vaccinations, and wellness visits, which is the minimum for ACA eligibility. So that allows members to avoid potential penalties for not having ACA coverage. So these sharing plans kind of, you know, slip under the wire by providing preventative services, giving them that ACA eligibility, technically. And while many states don't enforce ACA penalties, some do. So in other words, if you don't have an ACA eligible health plan, in some states, you may be charged a penalty for that, but in other states, you're not charged a penalty. So be sure you understand the maximum penalty if you choose a health sharing plan that is not ACA qualified. The fourth thing to know is that health sharing is less expensive for high earners. If you need individual health insurance and have low to moderate income, you typically come out ahead by purchasing an ACA plan from a state or federal marketplace. That's because they provide tax credits, which are essentially subsidies based on your income and family size. So that reduces the amount you have to pay. The government is actually kind of paying a portion of your premium for you. You don't ever see it, but they just, you know, reduce your premium that you have to pay. The government is subsidizing the balance to the health insurance company. However, for 2023, if you earn more than $54,360 as a single taxpayer or more than $111,000 as a family of four, that's the cutoff where you typically do not qualify for a health subsidy. So that means coverage can be expensive. And especially if you're over age 50, premiums for health insurance are age adjusted in most states. That means older policyholders can actually pay up to three times that of younger people for the exact same coverage. So my point here is that if you earn over those amounts, again, about $54,000 as a single and $111,000 as a family of four, if you earn over those amounts, you're not going to qualify for a health care subsidy typically on either a state or federal marketplace plan. So if that's you and you earn too much to qualify for those premium subsidies or tax credits, enrolling in a health sharing plan can be a much more affordable option. And the fifth thing to know is that health sharing does not cover all pre-existing conditions. As I mentioned, when you purchase an ACA-eligible health plan, like the real insurance, federal and state laws require insurers to cover your pre-existing conditions for unlimited care after you pay your annual deductible. But healthcare sharing plans can deny your membership based on your health history. Again, they're not insurance, so they get to make up the rules. Some of these sharing plans may accept members with pre-existing conditions, but not pay for services related to those pre-existing conditions. Or some sharing plans may charge you extra or even impose a waiting period, such as 1 year, to cover, let's say, 25% or 50% of cost related to your pre-existing conditions. And in some cases, your pre-existing conditions may be 100% covered after you've paid into the sharing plan for several years. Again, the rules are different from plan to plan, but you're typically going to be covered if you develop a medical condition after joining a sharing plan. So understanding how a sharing plan does or doesn't pay for services related to any previous medical treatment or disease you've had is critical before signing up. Number six, health sharing negotiates costs for you. When you have traditional health insurance, it pays a portion of your claim and bills you for the rest. You typically pay nothing or maybe just a small copay to the service provider. But healthcare sharing plans don't work like that. They reimburse you after you pay a medical bill, or at least up to your chosen unshared amount. So like if you chose $1,000 as your unshared amount, you would probably have to pay that out of pocket, you know, right away to your provider or, you know, within their allowable time frame. Then you would submit that bill to the sharing plan and they would reimburse you any costs that are above the unshared amount. Remember that since you're technically uninsured when you're a member of a health sharing plan, you present yourself as a cash customer. Now, that may be really different from what you're used to, but it can actually be a good thing because in most cases, it qualifies you for discounts. And a lot of people don't know that if they've had insurance their whole life. When you go to the doctor and say you're a cash customer, they typically don't charge you the same amount that they charge when you present insurance. So what happens is, again, you submit your receipt to the sharing plan for approval and even some help negotiating the cost if they think you're being billed too much. And the last point, number seven, is that health sharing is typically faith-based. Most healthcare sharing plans are religious nonprofit organizations. They may require members to sign statements of faith for approval. Plus, you may have to agree to a particular lifestyle, such as regularly exercising, eating healthy food, attending worship services, and avoiding drugs and alcohol. For instance, if you drink alcohol and get into an accident, many healthcare sharing plans would deny you coverage. As I mentioned, sharing plans are not insurance, and they create their own rules for who can join and what will be covered. While sharing plans can be attractive because they certainly cost less than the full price of regular health insurance, especially if you're over 50, you want to be sure to fully understand the fine print before signing up and not having a substantial medical bill covered. While some sharing plans are more comprehensive than others, most are designed to give catastrophic care to healthy members. So if you're looking to an alternative, maybe a more affordable alternative to regular traditional health insurance, I hope this show has given you some insight into what may be a viable option for you and your family by joining a health sharing plan. As always, you can leave a comment or your money question by calling 302-364-0308 to leave a voice message, or you can send me an email using my contact page at lauradadams.com. I'd love to hear from you. And that's all for now. I'll talk to you next week. Until then, here's to living a richer life. Money Girl is a quick and dirty tips podcast. It's audio engineered by Steve Rickyberg with editing by Adam Cecil. Our podcast and advertising operations specialist is Morgan Christensen. Our digital operations specialist is Holly Hutchins. Our marketing and publicity assistant is Davina Tomlin. And our intern is Cameron Lacey.